right, take a deep breath in. Let's ground ourselves into Mother Earth and into our body. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to Slay and Shine, everyone. Feel the higher vibrations, because we're going to need it for this discussion today. All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Slay and Shine. This is your hostess today, Clemence Lafredis. I am a singing bowl, sound healer, energetic healer, and self-care coach. And I have a beautiful guest with me today, Amber. How are you?
Oh, so good. And like you, oh, just grounding and being present and just excited for this podcast and how it's just breaking me open and stretching me. So grateful to be here.
Seriously stretching us. Amber is my friend from healing school. We've been together for 2 years now. We're graduating soon in a few months. Crazy how time flies. But you are also a healer and a seer and all these great, beautiful giftings that you are putting out into the world. Can you tell us a little bit about what you do?
Yes. So I call myself a self-healing facilitator because I believe that I'm holding space and supporting people and that we all have that ability. And so when I was very young, I was very close to, and we're going to get into the topic of Jesus today, so I can say I was always very close to Jesus, and I always believed in the gifts that he shone forward, that he could heal people, and the words that were said to me that we can do as he did and
yes.
more. And I felt that internally, and so over the years and when this healing school was presented, everything in me was like, yes. My background's a lot in nursing and healthcare and behavioral health.
Healing people some
always
more.
Always had the desire to help support people, whatever that looked like. And healing school, what I do is we're all gifted and we have naturally sourced God-given gifts. And I love your magic of doing sound healing and stuff. For me, it's clairknowing. It's this... my biggest gifts have been the things I've found under my greatest struggles. So my biggest yeah. gift is shining love on people, and that's because I've learned how to do that in myself in some really dark times. And so I'd like to just call myself a soul enlightenment teacher and guide and a self-healing facilitator, because the truth is we're all freaking amazing and powerful, and we're all capable, and I like to remind people of that.
That you have the power. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Amen. Ashe. So, I must say, I've been inviting friends onto my podcast to talk about books that they're reading. And when you told me about your book that you're reading, I was quite intrigued, but yet nervous about wanting to invite you on the show. Like, can we do a different book?
And I love that too, because you messaged me, you're like, what book are you reading so we can discuss it? You weren't like, hey, I'm reading this book, so would you like to read it and then discuss it? It was really an open invite.
Yeah.
And I don't think that was an accident. And so I feel like after I was like, yeah, I'm reading this one, you were kind of in that space.
Yeah.
It was like, oh crap.
I mean, it really, like you said, it's opening me and expanding me further. My fear triggers did come up. Like, what are people going to think about me? What are people going to say? And I'm like, I thought I got rid of that from my field and my vibrations, not caring what people say. But obviously it's still coming up, because this book is, it's meaty and it challenges what we in America, I think it's different from other countries because they do see Mary Magdalene as a saint in other countries, but not so much in America. And the book that we're talking about today is The True Story of Jesus and His Wife, Mary Magdalene. Even the title was triggering. Their Untold Truth Through Art and Evidential Channeling. Okay, so how was it for you? I mean, like, having to talk about this, because we both have a very deep, extensive background in Christianity. We're both big time Jesus followers, love of Jesus. So, okay, I want to hear how you felt.
So, interestingly enough, and I just had started listening to it when you messaged me. So I hadn't dived enough in. And I think had I done that, I probably would have found a different book too. But there was no accident. So I was like, yeah, this is the one that's been drawn to me. So I've had certain experiences in my life that, being raised Baptist and different Christianities, and I've been Mormon, I've always been on the search for the truth, I would call it, right? Just trying to dive in. And when I was very young, I had certain traumas that happened to me. And when they did, most of the time, I remembered being in a garden with beautiful, what we call angels, and a loving, benevolent, just such a kind spirit and being. And I got to know that as Jesus. This was before I was going to church. I was 3, 4, 5 years old. I didn't go into my first church until I was like 5 or 6 years old with my grandmother. And I remember walking in and seeing a picture of Jesus, you know, as it was emanated there at that time. But I felt the energy and there was a recognition. And I turned to my grandma and I said, "That's my friend."
Wow.
And she was like, "Yes, Jesus is your friend." And I was like, "No, like, is really like, that's my," because I used to speak and I called him my imaginary friend. Like, "That's my friend. That's who I'm talking to." And so I was so excited, you know. And in school, it's like Jesus loves you. And then you learn and you get really indoctrinated into this space of, I had all this love. And then I went through this extreme guilt and shame. Fear. He died for me. Because I'm not good enough, because I did bad things. And it really, the messages really conflicted, but I was always a Jesus lover, so I was gonna listen and I loved the teaching. So this book really stretched me to release and also reconcile, which I like that word a lot, with parts of me that didn't feel in alignment with what I was being taught about Jesus and what I in my heart felt was true on an essence soul level. Now the book, as far as like being married and to Mary Magdalene and things like those things stretched me, but I also, because I was on the search for the truth, I've heard many different belief structures around that as well. And Jesus's standing as a rabbi and certain things, like he would have been married, like there are certain things that felt true to
me.
And after being in healing school, I can say listening to this book was really interesting to just be with my energy and my essence and notice what I open up to, what I close down to, what is this mine? Is this somebody else's?
Yeah.
Can I stretch myself to believe some of the things being said here? Can I choose to let go of some of it and just have that relationship with Jesus that I know to be true for me? Because it's not about denouncing anybody else's either. So I know that's a long answer to that, but it really stretched me in many good ways. And then also in ways that were, I was afraid too. Cause I have some people that we talked about this before, would call me a heretic for believing in some of the things that are said in
or
this book.
Really?
Probably any of it, really.
Exactly. Well, even in the beginning when we started healing school, you had some issues with friends calling you out about your ways of being and living now not congruent to what was seen in the church as a true follower or believer in Christ. And so, I mean, and I was at that time going, I don't care, because whatever, I've been out and people will judge, right? But then reading this book, I'm like, I guess I do care.
Well, it's almost in the sense of believing it almost is like putting yourself out there to be crucified.
Exactly. So talk about so let's kind of give some bits and pieces of what he talked about in the book. So the book is a channeled text, meaning these are downloaded into different people, not just him, but and not even him. He's so the writer is David Young. He's a musician and had been playing the flute and different musical instruments since the 80s and 90s for a lot of spas and yoga retreats and meditations. And when he would play these concerts or for these different events, people would come up to him after and say they had visions and Jesus came to them or Mary came to them or different ascended masters came to him, telling them a story that he had not been familiar with, because he said he's Jewish. And then it triggered him to want to research all, like, so many of these people who don't even know each other are coming up to him and saying similar things about Jesus's life, about Mary Magdalene, about Mary the mother. And I think in European countries, like I know in France, Lady of Lourdes, and where Healing Waters just came springing out of the ground, you know, like we see more of these miracles with the feminine energy happening in Europe and France than we do here about here. Even the Philippines, we have a lot of like crying statues of Mary. In South America, that kind of thing. But here, I've really, like, really pushed away Mary, both Marys. So this really kind of opened that back up. And the second thing you talked about, you mentioned too, was kind of like a proof to him that he was on the right direction, was that Jesus was called rabbi several times in the Bible. And because of his background, he remembered that to be a rabbi, one of the prerequisites is that you have to be married. And I thought, oh my God, I never knew that. That's like something new that I didn't know. And Jesus was obviously Jewish. He called himself a Jew. He was obviously following that culture and being a part of that environment. He spoke in synagogues. He taught in synagogues. He was called rabbi. So, yeah, let's talk about this book and how it's demystifying, yeah, or actually plugging in empty spaces that were missing from what we were taught. What were some of the things that stood out to you?
I love the layers, first of all, of the relationships and the people that were brought into his life. And in healing school, you know, we've learned that our soul is very expansive and past lives do come up, right? This idea that we've had different existences. And so I thought it was pretty powerful that there was these, through his music and then what was coming forth for people in the channeling, that they were given this opportunity to release old trauma from the soul around the story and around the circumstances, but also a thank you and a blessing. And so what really got to me is that, and like I mentioned earlier, this, it was always hard to just settle that Jesus just passed. And so this book explains that actually he was in a coma and survived and was snuck out by a guard. And Mary Magdalene helped with this. And what I found really profound that really expanded me was that having a narrative that he died and then holding on to this guilt and shame of somebody having sacrificed carries a heavy weight with it.
Yeah.
Almost a suppression to it. I actually felt my expansion and my love for Jesus grow to understand, and according to what's talked about and channeled in this book, is that he survived But he also healed through that, and he built a life, and he lived that life of love. Now, I've always believed in the part that when the apostles did see him, right, and they saw him with his scars, mm-hmm. I believe in astral travel, and I know that we can appear in spirit, and we can do that. And so for me, I strongly believe that it was him stretching out and saying, like, there's... What I loved about the message in this book is that it's not just about there's life beyond this, and let's just get it done. And, you know, I had suicidal idealization for many years of my life, almost obsessed with this, there's heaven on the other end, and all of this is turmoil and sin, and we just have to bear through it all.
Yeah, this is the hell.
There was something promising. Yeah, there was something promising about this book that showed me, like, he went through that. He did die. Like, we know in healing school, you go through these death and rebirths of different parts of yourself. Yeah. And I think in many ways, he did die.
Yeah.
And he was in that coma and had that NDE. I've had an NDE before, a near-death experience. And when I came back in, I was more activated with more of my gifts and my soul and understanding. And I do feel that he did bridge more of heaven and his own gifts into the world when he came back in. But what I love about that was that this book says he stayed in the flesh. Mm. He healed. He traveled to a beautiful place. He enjoyed his life with his wife. He had another child.
Three.
You know, there was real human things that happened there. So that gave me hope that, like, I can stay grounded on this earth, bring heaven to earth, heal past some really huge freaking trauma, and be okay and live the life of my dreams with love and die an old person. You know, it just really gave me this hope that we don't have to die to be over it all.
Right. There is hope. He did talk about how the Roman Empire was crumbling, and it was under a lot of turmoil, and they needed something to unite them and bring them back together and get them strong again. And so they created Christianity, this religion. And because before, in that land was mostly all pagans. And what pagans believe is when you're done, there is no, like, afterlife. And so he does discuss at the end of the book how even though there was a lot of pain and a lot of, like, I'm sure heartache on Jesus' part for being only remembered as someone on the cross, when he really came to bring love and show people how to have love and compassion and to be unconditional with our love for each other and ourselves, that most of our connection with Jesus is just the cross and him dying for our sins and letting us know how we're so dirty that we need to be cleansed by a sacrifice. So the Bible itself was changed quite a few times to help with the Roman Empire coming back together and bringing its strength together. I did see the movie Mary Magdalene, I think it was from 2017. What's his name is in it? The same guy who... Phoenix. What was his name?
Phoenix? Or?
Gosh, I can't remember his name. In the movie, at the end, we were able to see more of how she played an intricate role in his life. What we were taught in church was she was a prostitute. She wasn't talked about very much. We didn't study her at all. I mean, we did, but, like, very minutely. In the movie, she was there with the apostles, and she traveled to all the countries they traveled to. She was with them the whole time. So that was eye-opening because I did not know that. And then at the end of the movie, it did say 570-something years after the Bible was written, it was changed again to say that Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. It wasn't in there before, but it was changed at 500-something years after the Bible was written. And it had been already changed many times because of the Roman Empire and Constantine needing it to be changed. But that even after that, they changed it again. to eliminate her or discredit her. But then in 2016, the Roman Vatican now deems her as a saint, which I didn't know. Well, actually, I think she was a saint already in some of like the little countries.
In France. In certain places, yeah, where she's.
But now, in 2016, they deem her as an apostle.
Apostle
of the apostles. So one,
not just the
one
apostles.
Peg under.
And it's not to put her above anybody, because I love that whole topic of understanding Mary Magdalene and changing the Bible, and to reflect on what you said about. So Jesus and Mary knew they were trying to hide him. They were hoping that people wouldn't come looking. They were trying to feed the narrative, you know, in their own sense that he had passed, so they could live in peace and not be hunted down. Because I did notice that in that. So it wasn't so much that he was a victim to that, because he understood that that was the narrative, that was the end. And in healing school, what we've come to learn is that we need to follow our soul, even when it guides us into things that are difficult and certain paths, and we don't always understand why, but it is for our best and highest benefit and our highest good. And the highest will outcome for us is in alignment with our soul. And I thought that that was very powerful. And then with Mary Magdalene, so the narrative, it brought people together. It brought hope. You know, in one hand, it can suppress people because, look, Jesus died for you. You should all bow. Mm-hmm. And this is all connected. And you need to fight through these different things, right, to achieve heaven. When that message always got really mixed with me, because I'm like, well, if the sacrifice had happened and if I'm sitting around punishing myself, aren't I just creating more lashes for Jesus?
Right.
Because I'm perpetuating this shame and guilt and pain that he supposedly died for us on the cross. So why am I perpetuating it? So, but then there was a sweet spot where when people do lean into the soul and the essence of Jesus, just like us, when we're around each other, like you around certain people, their essence, their energy, it feels good. It's healing. It's loving. It's supportive. That narrative also helped people. It renewed hope and faith. And when you were speaking, I felt my own download come in of that really it's no accident in this book and the channelings and the people that came forward and the story being corrected is in perfect flow and in perfect timing, just like this podcast, just like this discussion, just like for those who are going to listen and watch this podcast are going to be expanded into this newer faith and hope. So there's a sweet spot there that they had to really fight with, like, okay, let's suppress them with the story. Bring them together, but suppress them with the same story. But oh my gosh, they're getting too hopeful. Oh my gosh, they're getting too many of their own ideas of what Jesus is and who he is and what this is. And then also the narrative around changing the feminine, right? The support that the feminine can give to the masculine and how that was suppressed. And then she was suddenly vilified in her own way, and that, you know, and even him, his reputation, right? Because it's so receiving, like, of course Jesus would hang out with a prostitute. He was loving and accepting for everybody, but it was to shame the feminine, like, he just gave his mercy and love to you. You were lucky to be around him.
Yeah.
but how beautiful is that? That I feel like her essence alone shows that it can take a scarlet letter and still shine its grace. Still shine its love, and still that feminine that knows, and that silent flow of that love and that ability that we're holding, because she saw him through this. She was that strength for him and held on and witnessed him go through this, and it must have broke her heart, right, to see him go through that and hold that space.
Well, even for her,
you know,
because I mean, there is a time that if women, I know, even in my own recent culture, because my mom is 80 and she's from another country, just when I was in high school, if I hung around men or if I hung around boys, I was called names. And so I can understand that she would be called, it'd be easy to say, hey, you're a prostitute. You are traveling with a whole bunch of men who are not in your immediate family. And you're going with them to all these different countries and cities. I could see just from my own experience how being in the culture I'm from, that if you're traveling with people that are the opposite sex, you are called, you're called names.
Which brings us full circle, because she was his wife. So of course it would make sense she would be traveling alongside him, especially during that time. I mean, of course he was definitely pushing the narrative and envelope there, being Jewish and then teaching all these new things of love that went kind of against some of the Jewish teachings. But I mean, I don't think he stretched it as far as just like, come on and hang out with us and let, you know, let's have them cast stones at you. But you know, I really feel like it was the wife connection as well that was there, and they were traveling together.
Yeah. It gave me chills when you were speaking about how this is there's no accident in what had happened. Like, the Bible had been written and rewritten many times. That's not an accident. It happened, and there's a reason. But then now, with all these people just having these divine downloads and channelings and messages coming more frequently now, and more of the feminine energy showing up and being recognized in a historically long-standing patriarchy type of environment that we've been living in, I don't think it's a accident at all.
No, there's so many new, ancient books that have been uncovered in the last 100 years that lost wisdoms. There's new wisdom being anchored back in from the soul's touching here. And as you were just speaking, it's like the collective emanates where it's at. And so even with those leaders that were changing those things, we were giving a lot of our power away. Me and you understand this in being in healing school, knowing our chakras and know what it means to be grounded or be filling our own cup or giving that power away or giving our narrative away. And so it reflected of where we were at. We were sometimes wanting to be guided or led, didn't want to completely stand in our sovereignty, didn't know how to, you know. It might be easier for some people to lean into that narrative and not take full accountability of love that I think Jesus was teaching too, is like, that's always there, but you can take accountability. But I think the beautiful thing about that too is now it shows us as a society and a collective where we've come to, because the truth is revisiting us and we're ready to hear it. Even though it stretches us and scares us, we are at that space where we're like, okay, let's pull back the veil a little and see what's really here.
Okay, talk about the end of the book, Jesus being called a heretic. What you were just saying about how this is all coming up now, and the people like us who are in this cusp, I would like to say, bridging the old into the new energy and the new frequencies, the new earth that is being created. We're going through similar emotions and feelings as Jesus did.
Yeah. So one of the things I mentioned earlier is that sometimes the things with the churches or the religion didn't sit with me, is that there, sometimes it's like having whiplash, because the teaching of Jesus say we're capable of doing many of these things. Yeah. And as a Christian and believing in the things that Jesus was doing, nowadays that would be called a magician, a witch. You know, a
burn
witch,
her at the stake.
All these terms we give it. And it's so intriguing to me how widely Jesus is accepted and people love him, and we compartmentalate what has been taught from him. And then if somebody else shows the same magic and gifts, we're like, Antichrist!
Yes!
Instantly. So that's why I feel like it gives you whiplash, and that's why there's this back and forth control, like being a ball that's swinging back and forth. And I think for me, and I'm not saying for anybody to believe this book, would like challenge yourself to listen to it and feel into your own relationship of what Jesus and the truth is, and let that guide you, because that's your truest compass. And in the end, he was discussing like all of the different religions, beliefs, many of them, and the different lines from them, and ways to treat people. Like one of them, treat others the way you want to be treated, do unto your neighbors yourself, just many. And there's this common thread of love that flows through them. And he mentioned, you know, he understood this book's going to shake some people up, and he himself was probably going to get some stuff back. But he was mentioning Jesus would consider it a heretic with his teachings and his expansion.
In his own country.
And that helped me realize, like, that, yeah, that's just a label, so let me be a heretic. I read a book once that's called Was Jesus a Magician? And I believe so. He did all this amazing, magical things. I also love at the end of the book is that there's no one way to show that essence and show up. It's like, there's music that he was creating that was holding this angelic space for people to have such powerful experiences. He was channeling artistry through it, and other people's gifts were being activated through that. And so I don't want to be a hypocrite in myself, but like, I love Jesus, I believe in Jesus, Jesus is capable, da 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 da. And then if somebody does something magical around me, be like, oh, you're not for Jesus. Like, no, you totally are. Like, what I considered the Christed consciousness is that unconditional, unwavering love that we discover that's in ourselves, that we are all powerful. And with our intention, yes, people can harm each other with negative intentions. I think it's more about the intention and what people are doing with their powers and their magic than it is about whether they're good or bad. It's also coming from their own pain and their own misguidance. Mm,
which is just showing up for us to heal. So we can know more of our power.
And so maybe if you think, when he was talking about the heretic part, I had to ask myself, I was afraid of other people judging me, but I had to stop, what am I judging in myself? And why can't I let this land a little deeper? Mm. Why can't I allow myself to be that magic? And I formed such a deep relationship. Like I said, when I was younger, I went through these phases. Like when I was younger, he was my best friend. But then when I learned all the teachings from the different churches, I suddenly felt distant. Like I was groveling for his love and attention. When I was younger, I used to pray and be like, I am so sorry my family is sinful and you hurt for us. And I will take it upon myself. And God, I'm so sorry your son had to go through all that pain for me. I remember praying like that. And a woman said, like, no, it was a gift. You must receive it. That's the wrong way to pray. But I had, it put a wedge between me and Jesus. Like, I feel ashamed and guilty that you hurt because of me. But now I realize, oh my gosh, you love me so freaking much and you love life and you wanted to show how beautiful life is that you chose to come here and feel it and show your magic and have the world against you. What you were emanating to me is that I'm powerful too, so is everybody else, and we can come here and there be naysayers, but as long as we're emanating that love, that truth of what we are, we can survive it. And that's what I love about the magic of this book, because according to this book, he didn't die on that cross. He did, but he didn't die in the flesh. He came back in and he anchored back in a whole other level of his badassness. Right.
And in medical terms, when you do go in a coma or you lose brainwave or heart for even an instant, you are considered dead. And there have been people who come back to life from the dead. And Jesus brought people back to life from the dead. I love that you brought up again that in the Bible, he did say, after I, you shall do greater things. And we tend to limit ourselves. We tend to judge what is acceptable, not acceptable. If you are able to do things like Jesus, that is not acceptable, because we put him on such God status that we forget that God was put into us too. The Holy Spirit lives within us, is one with us. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. So that power, even a tiny speck of God power, is huge in a human body. So why are we not accepting that we have powers of healing ourselves, with having powers to bring life where there is death, where things are depleted, we can restore. And not just human bodies, but anything, relationships, money, a country, a government, I mean, everything. So it can be applied to so much, but we seem to have closed off of what we think is our ability and what how much change and effect we can bring onto this world and just even our city and our own family, our own house. So it's been huge and eye-opening. Is there any last thoughts that you want to share about this book?
I do. First of all, I have had a near-death experience myself, and I, out of my body, I do know that all we are is love, and it's so magical. And for the longest time, when I came back, I wanted to escape my body and be there again. And since going through healing school and really grounding in, I've understood that it was actually about bringing that love, that truth of that love, into my body, into earth, and anchoring that in, as above, so below, and
reaching.
The other part I wanted to, when you were talking about the part why we limit ourselves, I think that's where the narrative of the story, like if we're around shame and guilt that somebody was hurt due to us, we can limit ourselves. And or the other side of it is, what if what happens to him happens to me? What if I show up and show all my magic and then they come to lynch me?
Right.
They come to put me on the stake and burn me down. And so it's about learning that you're loved, but also that love surrounding you to always lean into. It's not about not having those fears. It's about that the love will help you persevere through those fears. The last thoughts I'd like to give you, because somebody said this to me once who also channeled through with Jesus, and I was stuck in this place of forgiveness, needing to forgive myself. And I had brought up, like, you know, Jesus on the cross said, forgive them for they know not what they do, right? And in healing school, we learn to be conscious and choose to become conscious of what we're doing, where our energy going, where we are putting our gifts, where it's just leaking, where it is. And I was talking with him, and he said something that really blew my mind. He said he had a one-on-one talk with Jesus, and Jesus said to him, what if I told you there's nothing to forgive?
I've been exploring that so much lately. There's no need for forgiveness because there's unconditional love.
And just by saying it, there's this like, boulder that moves, and I feel this expansion, like, and I vision that journey with Jesus now, like, when I do cross that bridge and when I do leave this vessel, I don't see myself bound and gone, like, thank you for everything, and groveling. I'm gonna run and jump in his arms, like, what's up, homie? Thank you. I love you.
It has removed a lot of bondage and fear, because as I mentioned before in different podcasts, is like I had this love for God, but then also fear of God. Of, oh my gosh, I'm not doing good enough. I need to be right. I don't want your, you know, sacrifice to go for nothing. You know what I mean? Like it was like a mean, fearful God, shunning God, you're going to hell kind of God. But then now I'm realizing that the Bible was written in a time where the Roman Empire needed to gain control of their people again. And fear is a quick way to get control of people, if not anything. But then if you really read through a lot of what the Bible and the essence of Jesus, there was a lot of love there. So it was, like you said, whiplash, you know, a lot of confusion of mean God, good God, mean God, kind God. You know, it's like you had to. So it does dive back to when you read books that are channeled or you listen to channelers, and, you know, be open to channelers. This is my last thought I want to give to that, too, is we tend to shun people, like you said, oh, you're not of God because this is not, this is, you're going outside of the box. But we were all made in the likeness of image of God. We have Holy Spirit in us. We are connected to universal wisdom and knowledge. So why wouldn't we believe that people can come through with messages, that spirits and energies of ascended masters are coming through to us now, even more prevalent now as we go into the new earth that we're creating. But just be open to it and see, don't believe everything, but feel into your own heart. Feel into the own temple of God that's within you and see what reigns in alignment and truth for you. And maybe not at the time that you're reading it, it could be, like for us, uncomfortable in the beginning because we are desiring more, we're craving more, but then we still have some of that old yuck, old fear and control on us that's wanting to shake off. But little by little, we're moving more towards love.
And I invite everybody to remember, we're actually all channelers already. You're channeling your soul into your body. As we're sitting here, we're channeling information, we're breathing, we're taking life in. And I love what you said, because I think what I loved about my grandma, even though she didn't meet a lot of churches, she was on the same journey. When I was asked her, is this true? Is this true of God? Or is that, she would always tell me, go into your heart and ask and reach for God's heart, Jesus's heart, and ask and wait for the answer.
Yeah.
Right? There's prayer and then there's meditation, and they go hand in hand. So prayer is asking, it's gratifying, it's seeking, and then meditation is stopping and listening.
Remembering that God is already here. You know, in Christian church, we're always told, Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive.
Two places you can find me.
Yeah.
Yes. In two places you can find me, with other people in a church, which isn't about the buildings, right? Because it could be out in nature in a rock, or right here in your heart, your own internal chamber.
And the Bible talks about the church is not in four walls. It's in you. And we just, we're put in this fear of control to not go within, but to maybe get guidance and leadership from outside of ourselves, seek outside of ourselves.
Yeah. And you know, the one, when you were speaking earlier about the past, there was a time that there was this belief that you had to go to a clergyman or some kind of like person of God that was at this certain status to talk to God. Like you couldn't just, you know, some of that was taught, and like, that's like playing telephone. And if you've ever played telephone, by the time you get the message, it's not exactly what's being said. Right. So I can tell you, you're going to get a better, clearer message if you go
right
directly
here in the center of your being.
Heart to heart.
Yeah. God is right there.
Exactly. I think that's beautiful. This has been amazing.
This was so
and
great.
As scared as we were and anxious to step into this, I do feel this expansion and growth and connection.
I feel so much better. I was nervous about this discussion today. Oh, I love you so much. Where can people find you if they want to get more of your amber goodness and love?
So I have a Facebook business page called Sacred Soul Enlightenment. So you can look up there and like that. I have a group called Universal Compassion if you want to go there. And I do have a website, but I think whenever you post this, then I'll probably pop it in there. But
okay, I'll pop it in at that time. Yes! Okay, find Amber and send her much love and blessings on her journey. Before you sign off of this podcast, there is a 5-minute sound bath meditation right after these messages. Inhale. Invite the breath of life into every part of your body. Inhale and bring renewal to your mind. Inhale. Refresh, restore, and rest. Take a moment to just breathe and be. Allow yourself to remove all resistance and tension, judgment. Let it all go. Feel yourself sink deeper into peace. Allow peace and enlightenment to vibrate through every cell of your body. Be open allow more blessings, opportunities, more wisdom and knowledge to come in. And have space, create space, invite the newness of life, into every part of your being, every cell and every mind, every thought be made new. Give yourself a refreshing new day, birth, and create more of the life you seek. Be open. Let go and release situations and people that you hold so tight that there is no room for refreshing new light, cleansing waters, a new chapter, a new adventure in this journey of life. Release, let go, surrender. Inhale, invite the Holy Spirit, the breath of life, to cleanse. Invite the breath of life to clear. And invite the breath of life to make all things new. Namaste, my friends. The God and light in me sees the God and light in you.